Welcome to another of our Coffee Time Chats. Today we're joined by Eric Munoz, Chief Commercial Officer at Libra. Following our recent conversation with Stephanie and Connor about the marriage of revenue and marketing, we continue a similar theme with Eric, exploring the value of unified decision data for your revenue and marketing teams within the hotel. We look at what data is crucial, the value in combining data sets, the utilization of data to personalize your offering, and we explore a couple of real-time examples. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. Hi, Eric. Good to see you. Thanks for joining us today. How are things with you?
I'm fine. Thanks, Trevor. How are you?
Good. Excellent. Yeah, very good indeed. Thanks. And great to have you. Great to have you with us. And a topic that I think is been spoken about a lot over the last couple of years, this talk about data and the prevalence of data. The pandemic has obviously shifted what data is more valuable and when and what are we doing with it. So we're kind of going with a working theme of a unified decision data for marketing and revenue. And so I think let's kind of kick into that and explore what that means from your perspective, someone who's obviously familiar with technology, familiar with RMS, familiar with forward-looking data. I mean, you know, there's a wealth of knowledge that hopefully you can bring to this topic. So let's first of all start with the big, broad, obvious question to start with. You know, if we were looking from a revenue management point of view, everyone is saying, obviously, historic data, because of the pandemic, is all kind of out of the water or all out of sync now. I mean, what's your general view on kind of what data is critical at the moment, what data people should be kind of leaning into and maybe thinking a bit more about than maybe they haven't been historically?
Yeah, so your initial points regarding the, I guess, the lower priority of historical data absolutely rings true. So your near field, let's call it the most recent 6 weeks to 3 months, will be a lot more valuable than whole year's historical data. So obviously the years 2020 and 2021 are largely a write-off. And even though we are now in some markets exceeding what we did in 2019, a lot of markets are still recovering. So they can't rely very simply on that historical data. However, it's the opportunity to look at, well, what are the best signals for demand? And to, I guess, highlight the main areas relating to your question, it's really your competitive market set and their prices.
Okay.
But it's the real-time nature of those prices, not, for example, looking at the market once a week or 2 weeks ahead. Let's say the consumer behavior, which has changed quite a lot now since the onset of COVID, has also meant that guests' requirements and guests' expectations are different, but also equally, or if not more important than ever before. So your reputation data, as it relates to how you handle guests' requirements, guests' expectations in this hyper-clean environment, super important. And then other data signals that relate to travel demand are super important. So most hotels have a major airport, let's say within 2 or 3 hours drive, or a major airport which will serve a percentage or a segment of their guests. So that type of data is super applicable for revenue managers and the marketing team today, just for the mere benefit of understanding, okay, well, who's looking to fly right now? Where are they from? And do they have the same types of search behavior as other markets, or are our traditional markets, let's say, for example, we have 2 or 3 major countries that typically travel to our destination. Are those still the same 2 or 3 countries, or have they been replaced by another country, which is, let's say, more mobile in terms of traveling compared to what they used to be doing? So really, it's your hotel prices, your reputation, and travel data, which can really help your strategy today versus relying on what happened historically.
That makes sense. That makes sense. You mentioned a couple of things in there I just sort of want to pick up on based on some other conversations we've been having. You spoke about competitor set in there. A conversation I had end of last week was talking about, they were echoing basically, it was interesting, some of what you've been talking about and what we're going to be talking about here is that that demand data, because they were saying, well, you know, if you're looking at typically where we look at SDR reports, you know, that's all in the past. It's all historical. It's maybe useful, but surely there is, you know, if we're trying to look at what's going to be happening going forward and adjusting our strategies or taking advantage of these this additional data that we're seeing, then surely that has more, because I think about relevancy of data as well. We get caught up relying on what we've always done. What's just your quick view on that as a topic?
Yeah, it's interesting because not just major cities, like let's say Paris, London, New York, just to name three off the top of my head, but even let's say less traditionally popular cities still have, from an outsider's perspective, still have a lot of hotels in consideration. If we if we think about how hotels typically identify their competitors, it's a real bugbear of mine, because so often hotels in cities that have, let's say, 100 or more hotels in the 3, 4, 5 star categories, when you ask them, do they have a list or do they follow certain competitors? Yep, we absolutely do.
Right.
Perfect. Thank you. Can we just take a note of look at those hotels? Yeah, these 5 properties. These 5, for example, whether they're 4-star or 5-star, amongst 20, 30, 50 properties.
Wow.
Now, there's lots of different reasons why hotels have, let's say, in some cases, a limited view of their competitor set. Quite often, it's a historical or a legacy from years ago where they first started subscribing to hotel shopping data.
Okay, yeah.
And the minimum price point was for 5 hotel competitors. And
you you paid more the more you added. Right, okay. So it's a cost
thing.
A little
bit more. And, oh, well, okay, well, we'll leave it at 5 then, won't we?
Right.
And so in spite of the, let's say, diluted set of data not being relevant because they're missing out on perhaps other properties which guests are comparing to their hotel without the hotel being aware or considering those hotels in their competitor analysis, that's a real bugbear of mine. So the relevancy really in terms of your hotel competitors, I think, is a lot broader in general than what hoteliers are typically following, because we're both in the UK.
Yeah.
Imagine we're thinking of traveling to New York. We have families. So our search is going to be quite broad, unless we've been before and we know we want to be next to Central Park or whatever the case may be. But if it's just we're going for the first time to New York, family trip, there's dozens and dozens and dozens of hotels.
Yep.
If we say we're looking for something between 100 or 200 per night, safe and family friendly.
Yeah.
But each of those hotels, I can assure you, are probably looking at 5 to 15 properties max. So it's a real bugbear of mine, but I understand where it comes from. But it's also another issue along the same sort of topic, is that to have more frequently updated prices,
right,
and prices for a longer horizon usually has a cost attached to it. So if the bare minimum is 1 update per day for the next 30 days, that's what a lot of hotels will do, even though guests around the world obviously don't just make bookings during an 8-hour window when the hotel is operating, right? Bookings can occur 24 hours a day. So again, I think that unfortunately hoteliers are sometimes, let's say, too focused on costs to their own detriment sometimes. You know?
Is there a bit of a set it and leave it kind of mentality as well? I've kind of had these discussions before, when people are setting up their channels, and it's kind of okay. I get in, I do it, and then I go off and expect it. And 3 years later, you know, I'm still looking at the same hotels, but they could have changed. I mean, who are the, you know, if you go onto Expedia, for instance, and you look at your hotel, there'll probably be a list of all the other hotels that people are looking at. Is that a stronger indicator of your competitors, possibly?
Yeah, it's true, you know, especially, you know, where hotel industry, I think, compared to other industries, definitely has a very, very high rate of turnover. Mm-hmm. And so I think with a high rate of turnover, if somebody's joining a property who's, let's say, less experienced, they're just going to adapt and learn what systems are in place.
Yeah.
And may not have the experience to say, actually, you know what, we're missing a trick over here and here. And in fact, our digital content isn't consistent across all these channels, and our presence on Google is lacking. Mm-hmm. Unless they have that experience, or they have a supplier who's very proactive about ensuring their properties are, let's say, up to speed. And that's another area I think that the hotel supplier community can really assist with, is rather than just, let's say, have a reactive approach whenever the client needs technical support, rather than only reacting to those requests, if they actually took a proactive view of the property and said, oh, you know what, this could really be optimized over here and there. And certainly there are agencies who are rewarded on, let's say, a win-win scenario. The more revenue the hotel makes, the more revenue they make. But in other scenarios where the supplier is having a fixed price for that service, I think they sometimes aren't properly incentivized to make sure the hotels are really operating at a maximum sort of maximum level of detail across all of the channels. Like you said, I think a fear of not wanting to rock the boat, let's leave things as they are without trying to mess things up, I think is a characteristic across many hotels.
And you spoke as well about travel demand, which is a lot of, that's what people are trying to get hold of now. You know, as we're starting to come out of this, we're not full. We're not looking at, you know, trying to optimize our revenue. We're just trying to get as much coming through the door as we possibly can. And so back to the kind of relevancy and recency of data. I mean, we were having a conversation the other day, and we were talking about with another one of our partners, talking about data and using sort of Google Maps as the analogy. You know, it's changing all the time. It's using real time data. It's adjusting your route, and they were trying to compare how that, you know, that demand data, future looking, forward looking data, that it's kind of giving you those indications. Where do you see that kind of feeding in? And then we'll look into some real time data and how that can be used.
Yeah. The flight search, let's say, is something that for us has been really, really interesting to see, because we have a lot more destinations that are open now without restrictions. And however, the last 2 years have really been a case of literally every day, which borders are open, which borders are closed. Those borders that are open, what are the requirements going in and out? And unfortunately, I've lived through some really tedious, really difficult travel experiences, which a lot of people had to do because of the travel requirements. You didn't want to get things wrong. It's not like you could just skip through these online forms and just click, yeah, I approve, I accept. like you say, I accept cookies. Yeah. You couldn't just bluff your way through these pre-arrival checklists, because it was a bit like an online exam. If I get one thing wrong, not only do I not fill out the form correctly, I literally can't leave. With that as being the backdrop of the last 18 to 24 months, plus the fact that, you know, a lot of people have changed their travel behaviors. They're not necessarily looking to do as much corporate travel as they used to, or they're looking to work remotely as much as possible, taking shorter breaks within a 2 or 3 hour drive, or looking for more, let's say, destinations that offer quote unquote, a healthier environment, fresh air, seaside mm-hmm. locations, mountain retreats, that type of thing. So these are different scenarios that have meant that traditional travel markets aren't behaving the way they used to. And I think we'll see that travel demand normalize mm-hmm. for sure over time. But in the meantime, what is the hotelier in different parts of the world supposed to do if, let's say, for example, their top three travel markets, whatever countries they may be, aren't actually making reservations or yep. their travel partners aren't producing the way they used to, but yet planes are landing and taking off.
Yeah.
There's an opportunity there, absolutely, from a revenue management perspective to understand, you know, how we need to understand our segmentation, mm-hmm. but also from a marketing perspective, how can we use that data to better prepare ourselves for our campaigns, promotions, for advertising, for example, so that the marketing and revenue both can benefit from that type of data.
Mm-hmm. And when we're looking broadly at kind of data sets, back to our working title of unified decision data, looking through the historical data that was available to us, the future looking data, and additional data that is coming in for reservations already on the books, how can marketing and revenue, what should people be kind of zoning into, focusing into? Where's the core data that's coming together that we need to start having a more unified view? What would be your thoughts on that?
Yes. I think there's two major areas. So flight data, absolutely. Also the booking engine search data. So mm-hmm. certainly flight data is a very good signal of travel intent.
Yeah.
And not everyone who jumps on a plane is going to book a hotel. They may be visiting family and friends. However, it's certainly a very strong signal of travel intent and then possibly a hotel booking intent. However, an even stronger signal is hotel booking engine search data. So again, if somebody is searching for a hotel to stay in a property, that's a much stronger signal that they're not only either already living in that city or they've already made travel plans and now they're looking at hotel data.
So they may be registering on that flight data as well because they're traveling in, but now they're actually showing the intent of staying in a hotel, for instance.
Exactly. And when I say understanding who or the volume of searching, that's certainly important, mm-hmm. but the nature of those searches. So what is the geographic point of origin mm-hmm. for those either flight searches or hotel searches?
Yeah.
And what's the profile of those flight searches in terms of the booking window? Mm-hmm. How far in advance are they looking to make their booking? And for what length of stay? Mm-hmm. Because it's not the same. And certainly different, geographic points of origin can display different characteristics. Mm-hmm. And this is super valuable for marketers as well as revenue managers to understand the nature of that demand. Is it short lead time for a short length of stay, or is it longer length time for a longer length of stay and other combinations of that? Yep. So I think there's a huge opportunity there for hoteliers, both in the marketing side and revenue side, to become really focused on the nature of that demand rather than looking at everything as the same type of demand. So globally, this is how much we have on the books for the future without understanding the nuances of how they can fill, you know, demand days from markets that are absolutely looking to travel, yet the hotel is not necessarily visible to those travelers.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that was the bit I was looking to draw out from when we were originally talking about, okay, what should we discuss here, is that there's so much is written and so many people put articles out and they talk about this forward-looking data and they all quote, you know, these flight searches. And I know you guys do the same as well, which in isolation is interesting because it gives you a sense that there's maybe a degree of positivity, and is back to your earlier point, markets are opening up and there are different restrictions. But in isolation, it doesn't actually give you a definitive answer or something you can really do. It's the combining that data as another data set with other sources available to you. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, exactly right. So your historical data still has some weight of influence. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying dismiss your historical data, particularly the, you know, 6 weeks previously or last 3 months.
Yeah.
The near historical data is interesting and important for sure. But yeah, when you aggregate reputation data, your flight search data, if you're also including booking engine search data in aggregation, that's giving you a much stronger signal of where the travel is looking to coming from. And you've got plenty of examples across Europe, for example, where traditional markets that are normally visiting a destination are not traveling the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe longer haul kind of travel, whereas short haul travel is traveling, but they have different types of travel. So, for example, if you look at...
I was going to ask you, have some examples how we can almost take down some real life and extrapolate that out.
Exactly. So if you look at Italy, I'll use Rome as an example. Mm-hmm. I see that data almost daily.
Right.
Now, the number one flight travel search for Rome is actually Italy in terms of a destination.
Yeah, okay.
Even though it's one country.
So if people are thinking, I'll go to Italy, it always tends to be Rome.
Exactly. And even within, let's say a source of business for Rome hotels,
mm-hmm.
Is actually other parts of Italy. Even though,
there's
highways and there's great train services there, flight search into Rome is still the number one.
Oh, from within Italy. Business, so to speak.
Exactly. Right. So now, outside of that, the UK and Spain are definitely in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
US, which used to be in the top five, is currently not there at all. I think they're emerging from their... a lockdown or a pseudo lockdown environment to start traveling again soon, but certainly not traveling the way they used to. But if you look at Spain and the UK, both top five markets coming into Italy,
right?
The booking windows and length of stay are very, very different. So the UK has a longer booking window,
right?
It varies slightly whether you're a solo traveler, couples, families or small groups. They vary a little bit, but you can say it's around 50 days currently.
Okay, so they're looking 50 days out from their current search,
exactly.
The UK. Yeah,
exactly. And the length of stay is quite a healthy 5 or 6 nights that they look. Let's say almost a week.
Yep.
Now, the Spanish market, which is also looking to travel in similar volumes to the UK, has a shorter booking window. They're looking about 30 days,
right?
25 to 30 days. But it's a 2 or 3 night average length of stay.
Okay.
So two very different profiles, both geographies are major contributors to demand going into Rome. Yet, if you look at a lot of hotel properties, they're probably not doing any geo-segmented pricing for these markets.
Well, I was just going to say, so if I'm sitting there now in a hotel, just quickly, on if you're looking at the Italian market going into Rome, was that... Do you have any data on how that was different to the UK or Spain, for instance?
So a much shorter booking window,
right?
Like around 3 weeks.
Okay.
And a much shorter length of stay. So,
that 1 to 2 day, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I've got exactly. you. So if I now put myself in a hotel in Rome, doesn't matter, say like a 4-star hotel or something like that. So I've got three markets that are coming in. So I've got Italy, Spain, UK, if I look at it in terms of the booking window and length and length of stay. So what am I, so if I put my revenue manager's hat on, or you put the revenue manager's hat on, what am I doing with that information? And maybe what additional information or data am I looking to correlate with that? And then what ideas may I start to develop some strategies on?
Yeah, certainly the hotel revenue manager will already have an understanding of traveler behavior in the past. Mm-hmm. So even though 2021 and 2020 didn't have a huge volume of data, 2019 and beforehand, certainly the hotel would understand that, okay, we typically see this volume of business from these segments being nationalities, for this length of stay and this sort of booking window. That data should be available and visible. Mm-hmm. They should then correlate that to the type of data we've just spoken about now, the 50 days booking window and let's say a five or six length of stay.
Yep.
For example, and so on and so forth. So definitely it's interesting for the hotels to understand how the current travel behavior compares to what they were expecting, mm-hmm. but then also ensuring that the revenue manager can communicate to the marketing team where that demand isn't materializing how they expected.
Because I guess you're looking at what reservations you may already have on the books, for instance, going into that window, aren't you? Yeah,
exactly. So if they're not getting their fair share based on the search demand versus what's materialized, they need to stimulate or capture that demand. So that involves talking to the sales and marketing team to understand which travel partners they have in those source markets that they're maybe missing out on at the moment. Mm-hmm. And also to ensure that any campaigns or promotions are very specific to the type of demand that's being shown. So to target the Spanish market, for example, ensuring any targeted advertising for that region meets up with their booking window and length of stay. So they do see a 3 or 4 night type of package available to them, because that's typically what they're looking for in aggregate. So
I guess that's the point, isn't it? Because you spoke about geolocation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how does that, and we may be going a little bit off topic here, but if I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, right, if someone comes to my hotel, mm-hmm. to my hotel website, for instance, I want to be making sure that not only is my outbound marketing that my marketing team are doing, but I guess I'm wanted to make sure that I've got the right, if I look at my dates and how I'm pricing and what I'm pricing for particular length of stay, to what degree am I trying to align, and can I see that when someone's arriving at my website, that they, if they're looking and I can see that they're coming from the UK, I can be aligning what they're actually seeing from a packaging and a pricing point of view? Can I get to that degree?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think this is an area where a lot of hotels will be missing out on the opportunity to be very targeted in their offers. Mm-hmm. So a lot of hotels' technology doesn't always support the ability to do geo-based pricing.
Right.
There are many systems that do support it. So mm-hmm. it's not a... Sometimes
so you can't do it. You just might not have the tech to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not always a limitation that they were not aware that's a strategy they should employ, but it's a limitation of the technology. Mm-hmm. But it's certainly not difficult. And anytime I've spoken with people who are ex-OTAs or ex-digital marketers who have experience working in the big online travel agencies or meta search platforms, they basically, their mind boggles how efficient and aggressive these other platforms are versus how hoteliers typically operate. A lot of hoteliers will just offer the same price for and the same type of digital experience, no matter who the visitor is to their website, versus metasearch platforms or OTAs that have lots of technology in place so that if you were to visit that site and then return, you would be identified as a returning visitor, and whatever price was offered would show slightly incrementally higher
each time.
And which I think we've heard in lots of different online retail experiences, and not everyone, let's say, is savvy enough to reset their browser history and clear cookies, or if they are, they're not bothered, but they just get caught up with seeing prices going up when they go back, and
so psychologically it forces you to think, oh, look, it might go up again if I look again. Yeah.
So we all very much understand that urgency that gets created in those booking scenarios. A lot of hotels miss out on that opportunity, and it's not necessarily a trick. It's smart marketing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's smart ways of doing e-commerce, and there are definitely booking engines and other digital marketing tools that help hotels capture that type of business. And not the least of which is, you know, applying basic geo-based pricing, but trying to apply geo-based pricing without understanding the nature of the visitors and not knowing, well, I need to apply this strategy to this market, is a little bit pointless. So those strategies are only really valid, I think, when you have the data. So
yeah,
like a lot of things in digital marketing and in revenue, if you're applying strategies or thinking about different tactics because it sort of sits right in your gut, rather than I have data to base this decision on, it's a very, very different expectation.
And I think that's why I wanted to ask that question, because to me it seems logical that if I'm going to invest and it's about looking at these additional data sets, I think nowadays you've got to think about it as an investment, not a cost, because your ability to take that data, if you then have, back to your point you just made, the technology to support a more geo-based pricing, then in theory, you should, I would imagine, be able to generate an ROI that offsets that investment that you're making. And it's just an additional layer of data that helps you to be more targeted. And back to the original, you know, the right product at the right price at the right time. Hmm. Well, if you're able to make that even more granular, mm-hmm. so you're targeting what these people are looking for in 50-day, if it's the UK, and price accordingly for a 5-day length of stay or a 7-day length of stay, mm-hmm. well, to nuance that differently to if it's someone that's flying in from within Italy who's staying for 2 days or coming in from Spain that might be 3 or 4, to mm-hmm. me, it just seems a logical thing to do. But I can't be that more granular unless I have a data set to help me do that. But the likelihood is, if that consumer is looking at my 5 back to our comp set, me and the 4 competitors, and my pricing seems to be a bit more aligned to what they want, or I'm promoting a package that seems more in line, and yet when they go on my competitors, it's a fairly standard pricing. Well, I'd hope that would potentially increase my chance of converting that piece of demand.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you said earlier about the focus on ROI is absolutely important. Having this type of granular data means that hoteliers are in a much better position to maximize their, let's say, online investment in online ads, for example, rather than saying, yeah, we advertise online mm-hmm. globally. We have this sort of budget, and once it closed down, that's us for the month. So rather than treating everything as the one sort of pool of demand,
like just a homogenous mass.
Exactly, being very targeted, because for whatever reason, the data might show that, you know, the US aren't traveling right now to our particular destination. However, these 2 or 3 markets are. So you can absolutely be targeted in your advertising based on origin of the guest, based on particular dates, based on length of stay of their searches. So it's not a difficult, I think when you present the data to a hotelier and show them about different markets they may be missing out on, just purely by showing flight search over here, PMS reservations over here, and where they don't, let's say, correlate in terms of you're not getting your fair share, they know what to do. They know exactly what to do, and they're very grateful for that information. It's just a matter of presenting, like you said before, PMS reservation data with flight data, and then quickly showing where there's a gap.
Yeah.
And then hoteliers are very quick to get on the phone or the email to those travel partners in those cities. And equally, they should be using that information in their digital marketing investments online. So,
well, I was going to say, when you were talking about the advertising there and back to a set it and leave it kind of mentality, and it's not, I'm not trying to be, I can't think of the appropriate word. I'm not trying to be disparaging for the reason you said, you know, the revenue professionals know what to do when they've got some core bits of data. Yeah. The digital marketeers, marketing people know what to do when they've got these core bits of data. Mm. But we're all coming out with less time, less resources, having to try and catch up. And so sometimes if we've always, this is our advertising budget, this is what we've done with it, this is how we handle our advertising online. If we're not going back and looking and saying, goodness, why are we spending budget in the US when we can clearly, when we can see the US isn't traveling, well, it's just wasted money. You know, you're never going to get any conversion on that at the moment.
Yeah, I saw some studies recently, very recently, like in the last week, that showed that, there's a couple of things. One, the US in general, I'm talking about hotel online digital marketing spend, invests a lot more than Europe in general. Mm-hmm. Investments currently are less than half than what they were in 2019.
Right.
They're still very, very low. But on top of that, you've got a huge shortage of experienced and trained staff. A lot of hotels have had to downsize their team, and when they rode through that the depths of the pandemic, and now they're emerging wanting to rehire people and get the team back up to the levels they need, which were already bare bones, they're finding it really difficult to find experienced people. So it's not just one market or another market. This is a symptom that we see in plenty of areas. So not only have hotels traditionally, I'm talking about Europe now, really underspent in terms of digital marketing, now there is a double whammy where they've actually got fewer people, they have to do more with less, and they're running around, let's say, and trying to keep the lights on, keep operating as best they can. I think a lot of hoteliers are realizing that the pandemic and emerging through the pandemic has really put a spotlight on how they need to maximize their operations with technology where it makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of guests initiated that by not wanting to touch a pencil on check-in and sign a registration card, a pen that 30 other people have handled, which we never think twice about unless you're a germaphobe before the pandemic. But I feel as though a whole new generation of germaphobes have emerged, and now they don't want
it's going to be touchless, isn't it?
Yeah, touchless hospitality, which is counterintuitive in a sense, but I can understand it completely. And touchless hospitality really means integrated technology, keeping the guest on a device, their own device, or interacting with technology, not a human. That's a really cold experience. Personally, I'm someone that likes a face-to-face check-in versus a kiosk check-in. That's just me. And I know from well before the pandemic, I had colleagues who were the opposite. If there was a choice of a human or a kiosk, they'd go for the kiosk every time.
Right.
Even if there was nobody, there was no line at the front. At the front desk.
They just make their choice.
And I couldn't understand it other than, okay, that's some people.
Yeah.
That was really surprising to me. But just bringing it back to operating today, I think technology in general, not just revenue management and digital marketing, but overall hotel tech, I think has a big spotlight on it right now, because hotels always liked the idea of operating more efficiently, but may have balked about the investment. Now it's like, well, we really need to not just rely on our spreadsheets. We have to get revenue management technology, or we need the guests to be able to check themselves in or out. Things that were considered a luxury item in the past now are looking like, oh, this is a necessity.
No, that's a good point. I think that pretty much, I think we've touched on a lot. I mean, what we wanted to do was to take this from the kind of hypothetical, you need forward-looking data into, okay, well, what does that data, how does that tie together? What are the other indicators on property? And then how can revenue and marketing be looking at that? And I think ultimately, and this is why it was started with this unified decision data, that it is the, even if your departments are working in silo, fine. Okay, I know we're supposed to, but the data doesn't have to be in silos. The data is accessible to everybody. The way it gets presented to revenue can be different the way it gets presented to marketing. But the data just flows. And then you draw out from it what you want. So it's the data that is unified, and then you can determine what you are going to do with it. But I think listening to what you were saying there is there are additional sets of data that maybe are being spoken about, but not quite fully engaged with by as many hoteliers as obviously the tech companies providing this would like to say, hold on, it's not just another product or solution. You will get a return on this if you integrate this and unify it with additional data you have to help you be more targeted about what you're actually trying to do and how you're trying to maximize the booking from the limited demand that is coming into the market at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And along that same train of thought, the corporate director as a title in the hotels is something that big American chains have had for several years now. But that's also now appearing in independent hotels where rather than being revenue or marketing.
Oh, like the commercial director. Yeah.
So the commercial director having responsibility over marketing, sales and revenue.
Yeah.
That will accelerate that unification of data as well.
And you're starting to see that a lot more?
Yeah. In bigger chains, definitely, but even in small groups, 5-6 hotels in different parts of Europe, having commercial directors responsible for those areas, I'm seeing that a lot more frequently now.
Okay, that's interesting. That might be another topic we pick up on.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, brilliant. Well, I think that's covered everything that wanted to try and get out of this this conversation. Unless there's anything we've missed.
I think that's been pretty interesting for me too.
Pretty brilliant. Well, look, super. Also, always appreciate your time. I know you're incredibly busy, so thanks for carving out the time to be with us today.
Really thanks, Trevor.
It. Take care.
Thank you. Cheers.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Eric for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. We value your input, and we're happy to follow up with our guests. Also, if there are any topics that particularly interest you, or if there are any specific guests you would like to hear from, please do let us know. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. That's insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. If you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. And if you do watch it on YouTube, it would be great if you could give it a thumbs up or even subscribe, as it really helps out the channel. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.